This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is made possible in part each Wednesday by People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do, a better business relationship. By Business Energy Action, challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. By Fairpoint Communications, small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. By Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. And by National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years, working for a better tomorrow. And by the over 1,000 VBSR members. Here's noted Vermont author David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. Reducing poverty, one job, and one used washing machine, or couch, or used building materials at a time. That's the mission and the work of Resource Vermont, an unusual effort at both job training and poverty reduction that has been working and expanding around Vermont for over a quarter century. The story goes back to 1991, when Recycle North began as an innovative program of repairing and reselling household items that would otherwise have gone to the dump. Out of that founding vision, more than 750 people have received job training and skills essential to employment. 10,000 low-income people have received needed household goods and building materials, and more than 10,000 tons of materials have been kept from the landfill. And hundreds of people now have secure employment through income earned largely from this social enterprise. We're going to spend the hour with a variety of people involved in a variety of aspects of the work of Resource Vermont. But we're going to begin with Curtis Osler, who's the development director for Resource Vermont. Curtis, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me on the Vermont Conversation.
So I was retracing a little bit of the history going back to Recycle North, but that early vision has really flowered into a many-tentacled organization that works in many aspects of helping people. So give us an overview in 2014. What does Resource look like? What does it do?
Well, Resource, as you said, started at Recycle North, pardon me, in 1991. The goal was to create an environment where we could reuse materials, keep them out of the landfills, but also restore human dignity. And one of the things they did was bringing in homeless people, people that needed jobs, giving them jobs in the store, sorting goods, actually retail jobs and so forth, and giving them those job skills training. And over the years, we've expanded that mission. So we now have a three-point mission of environmental stewardship, poverty relief, and job skills training. And what I do, I liken this to a good example of using this is a washing machine. Let's say someone has a washing machine that they no longer need. It might be in good shape or may need a little bit of repair, but we'll actually take that washing machine in. So here we've saved 50 pounds from the landfill right off the bat. From there, then the washing machine goes to our appliance center where it is evaluated first to find out if it's energy efficient. If it's not, then it's recycled for its metal parts and other components. If it is, then we see what we can do to repair it. While we have it in that center, which is in Williston, it's one of our five locations, by the way, we start working on that, repair whatever needs to be done, refurbish it, clean it up, test it, run it, make sure it runs well. While that's happening, we have job skills trainees who are learning major appliance repair and learning those skills and getting certified in certain aspects like LP and natural gas installation. Installation. They can also get certified in some EPA formats for removing Freon, say, from refrigerators. So they're getting valuable job skills. Then that washing machine comes back to our stores where it's resold and sold at a marketable price, not, you know, very low price, because we'll get people that just would come in and buy it and resell it. The idea is to make the money off of that. And then we take whatever money is made from that and our other social enterprise services, sales and services, and distribute that to the poor in our essential goods program. So you've got this cycle, a very symbiotic cycle, where we're keeping something out of the landfill. We're providing job skills training to people that can then go on and get jobs from there with those skills and actual hands-on experience. Then providing materials in the form of vouchers to the people in need.
Do the people who take the job training, do they have to pay for that?
No. In fact, some of our job training skills offer a stipend. These are supported by much of what we do is supported by our social enterprises, our sales and services. We're actually on average between 55% and 65% self-funded each year. So just in the material that we take in. I think last year the material we took in just through our household goods stores and building materials stores, we made over $1.7 million. We also get some government money, although we lost a tremendous amount of that last year for in federal funding, so we had to make up some of that. And we also have other government programs. So we do offer stipends to some of the students, and so they have a little bit of a living wage while they're working with us. Not, you know, certainly not at the wage they would be getting when they get graduate and they get jobs after that.
What are the variety of skills and trades that people can get trained at in Resource?
Well, as I mentioned, we have large appliance repair, so that's refrigerators, stoves, ovens, that sort of thing. We also offer repair throughout Central Vermont. We actually send our technicians and trainees out to homes and repair appliances, which is that's something that's getting harder and harder to find. We have a computer or a systems technology service or a training where students come in and learn how to take apart a computer, how to repair them, how to refurbish them. It's not software. They're not learning gaming and such. They're actually learning the hardware of a computer. And also we get many computers and servers in as donations from larger businesses. So they're taking those, they're refurbishing them. Then we go those out for sale as well. So we have laptops and desktops for sale, even some servers. And one of the programs we've initiated this year is offering some server systems to some of our local nonprofit partners. So the smaller systems, the smaller organizations, rather, that don't really have the means to set up a server, and maybe they're still working their email off of Gmail or AOL or something like that. So we can offer them servers and some of the maintenance and setup for that.
Can businesses or individuals who want to donate, you know, office equipment such as computers, will Resource come and pick that up? And how do they get into that pipeline?
Yes, we do offer a pickup for both home pickup for goods and for businesses. We also do an e-waste service where, as you know, that Vermont is trying to recycle as much e-waste as possible. Last year, we were, in fact, the largest collector of e-waste in the state. And from that, then we go through the material and find out what is worth saving and what is not. One has to be just recycled. But the idea is to recycle it, not get it into the landfills and keep it out of that. So, yeah, we do offer that with businesses. We partner with quite a few businesses. As you know, most businesses, when they if they have run computers in their business, computers last about 3 years before they really want to be upgraded. They're still in good shape, but we will get the computers from them, whether they're laptops or desktops. And we actually not just refurbish them, we're also certified to wipe hard drives. So all the sensitive information comes off the hard drive. And any hard drive that can't be wiped cleanly, we destroy. So we're certified to do that. So then businesses don't need to worry about proprietary information getting in someone else's hands.
So if people need, are you doing computer servicing as well? You know, people can bring in their dead laptop and find out what's wrong with it?
Yes, we do some computer repair as well. Most of what we do is really refurbishing and reselling the computers. In addition to some of those other programs I did mention, the training programs, we have large appliance repair and computer systems technology. We also do office administration. We have many people come in to learn office skills, learn all the Microsoft Office, and get certified in some of those programs, actually get experience working, you know, in an office environment and learn some of those skills to go off and get jobs later on. That's through some of our apprentice style training. And lastly, we also have Youth Build, which we'll talk about more later. We have some Youth Build, our program director and program manager, that will be talking about that more in depth. But Youth Build is a high school completion program taking young men and women 16 to 24 years of age who have dropped out of high school, getting them their high school diploma, and then getting them trained for construction trade jobs.
We're talking with Curtis Osler. He's the development director for Resource, a Vermont social service agency that does everything from poverty reduction to job training. So give me a snapshot of a day in the life of Resource. How many people are involved right now and in what different capacities?
Well, we've got five locations. Four of them are retail locations. The fifth is, as I mentioned before, in Williston. It's our appliance repair center that's not open to the public for retail, but that's where most of our appliance repair happens. We have a full-time staff of between 60 and 65 people, many volunteers. We also have interns. In fact, we're looking for some interns for the summer from some of the local colleges right now. So quite a few people involved. As far as in Burlington, we've got two retail locations, both on Pine Street, basically across the street from each other. 266 Pine Street, that's our household goods store. So anything that people drop off with their beds, computers, dishware, books, records, CDs, movies, everything like that. And so that goes through our shop and then is put out for sale. Another interesting thing we do with things like beds and couches is we have a heat treatment system. Nothing comes into the shop before being heat treated, so it doesn't go out the door with any kind of microbes or bacteria or anything that you really don't want to bring into your house. So we can offer that service as well. Nothing that's upholstered is sold without that. Across the street, we have our building materials store, which is also kind of an architectural salvage place. We have, in addition to lumber, you can get shingles, you can get floor tile, kitchen countertops, sinks, bathtubs, anything you can think of that would be part of something you'd need to build a house, to do some renovation, build a shed, whatever you need. And we get donations from people that are tearing things down or even from businesses that have surpluses. In Barrie, we opened in 2009 and 2010, we opened our new store, which has both building materials and household goods in one store. And there's a small amount of job training that goes on there, but there's also a youth build program in Barrie. So in Barrie, that's at 30 Granite Street. And in fact, we went through a big capital campaign, which we're ending this, now, and having a large celebration in June 21st. So that's something we're really looking forward to get everyone in to see what our new space looks like, which also includes a stage for performances.
This is which place has the stage?
Barrie, this is in Barrie, yes. And so it has a stage that's actually lowered. It's an old granite shed, and the stage will be lowered from the granite cranes, from the old cranes that actually move the granite around, and then have a performance there. For our big event on June 21st, the first day of summer, we're planning to have a concert as well as some speeches, and hopefully we get some dignitaries there. And the last location I meant to mention was in Morrisville. We opened that in the end of 2012. So we also offer household goods and building materials for sale in Morrisville.
Is there any plan to go into southern Vermont as well?
You know, I would love to see us all over the state, personally. But one of the things we ought to do to be fiscally responsible is make sure that we can firmly get in, into all of our locations and make sure we're running up and running and earning not a profit. We're a nonprofit, obviously, but revenue enough to support them. But we have had inquiries from St. Johnsbury, from Rutland. There are many other communities, I think, that would really benefit from what we do.
So how many, people, I mentioned some numbers at the beginning of numbers who have gone through it, but, currently now, let's say, how many people are in the Youth Build program, and how do you identify what kind of youth are eligible to do this?
Well, I'll let, I think Andrew Drope's going to join us. He's our program director for Youth Build, and he'll give you the criteria for what we're looking for in students. I can tell you that in all of our job training programs, last year we enrolled a record number of 203 people in the apprentice-style training, work experience, and Youth Build programs. And Youth Build generally runs 32 students a year. We'll run 22 out of Burlington and 10 out of Barrie, I believe. But Andrew can actually tell you that.
Okay. Better. Well, Andrew is now on the line. Andrew Jope is the Youth Build Program Director. Andrew, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Oh, thanks very much for having me. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about Youth Build and, first of all, what does it take to be eligible to do this?
Yeah, sure. So, we work with young men and women between the ages of 16 and 24 who are no longer enrolled in high school, who are seeking an opportunity to still get a high school credential, to get some kind of valuable and marketable career skills, and, to really, I think the common denominator with all of our students is that something wasn't working in high school, and whether that was factors of their own making, or just the fact that it wasn't the right fit, and they needed a different learning environment. But they, you know, they are all still very motivated, still very much value their education, just want to do something different, want an opportunity to pursue that credential, to pursue their education, to pursue their career goals in a different setting. And so that's really what we try to provide.
And what can a student expect when they sign on?
Well, so it's the program takes about 10 months. It's a pretty big time commitment. You know, we do about a 38 to 40-hour work week. Typically, they're going to do, their time gets split up generally between academics, between job skills training, and all of our students are also AmeriCorps national service members. They do 675 hours of community service while they're with us during that 10 months. So, giving back to the community and really buying into that idea are big parts of what they do while they're here. You know, I think they can also expect to show up at a place that's really positive every day, where they're surrounded by a lot of people who are invested in their success, who are going to challenge them to work hard and to think about their future, and who do whatever they can to help them along the way.
So these are students, some of them have, I gather, dropped out of high school. These are students who've had issues with working in organized settings and with authority figures. How do you change up the scene to make this work for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, I have a couple students here with me if you'd like to speak with them at some point.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think the first day a student steps in here, they sense that it's something different and that we are really trying to have a different kind of relationship with them. And I would never, I don't want to at all disparage the public schools that we work with or the public schooling system. I think they do great things. I think one of the things that it just doesn't work for everybody. And I think one of the things that we really have working in our favor is scale. You know, we're small. And so we really, that affords us a lot of opportunities to really to get to know the young people in our program very well. And I think, you know, they see us, they see our faces, we interact on a pretty in-depth basis on a daily basis, you know. And, I think another thing that's really evident when you step into our program, whether it's in Burlington, whether it's in Barry, is, I mentioned positivity. Like, we really, that's the tone we establish right away. You know, this is a place where you're going to come do something positive, where you're going to be surrounded by positive people. We want you to go home at the end of the day feeling proud of yourself and your personal accomplishments, feeling proud of what you're contributing to the community. And I think our culture, our program culture really exudes that. And I think, a student or anybody who walks in here, I think that's pretty evident right away.
Let's get one of the Youth Build students on the line who are with you then.
Okay. Can you hold on just a minute?
Sure.
Okay.
We're talking here.
Okay. Can you hear me all right?
From Youth Build. Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay. So sitting here with me, I have Kevin Lawyer and Dustin Wilds. They're both students here at our Burlington site. And Dustin's been with us since September, and Kevin's been with us since November.
All right, well, let me have you keep your phone not on speakerphone, just on regular, and pass it to whichever one of you would like to speak first, because it sounds a bit clearer when it's not on speaker.
Okay, fantastic. So I am going to pass you over to Dustin, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, here you go.
Hi, Dustin. Hi, Dustin. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation, where we're talking about the program that you're enrolled in, Youth Build. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you out of high school and into Youth Build.
Okay, so first off, my name's Dustin Wilds, and before Youth Build, I was just like, going through the daily routine of high school, didn't really, I guess fit in with some of the groups that some high schools may have. So just like I hung out with my friend, Skyler Bushy. He was at Youth Build at the time. And, you know, I was talking to him about, like, you know, because I was having struggles in high school with homework and such. So he told me about Youth Build, and I just, like, I thought that would be a better fit because, like, I was kind of getting a little scared of, like, the big groups, you know, worrying about, like, my appearance, like, worrying about, like, all the small things, you know, usual high schoolers think about while they're in high school. So I decided to come check it out. And when I first got here, it was just awesome. I felt really welcomed. And it made the transaction from high school to here a lot better than I expected.
Which high school were you at?
I was at Winooski High School.
And have you actually left high school at this point? Or you...
To get into Youth Build, you got, I guess they consider it dropping out at Winooski High School. That's what I had to do to come join Youth Build. But I don't consider it dropping out, at least. I think it's just a better way to get an education.
So what are you learning at Youth Build?
At the moment, we've been doing just, like, construction. Like, we do it weekly, like, 1 week construction week, 1 week at the classroom. In the construction field, we're, like, just learning, you know, basic construction. Like, you know, like, at the moment, we're building sheds or, like, coming up with shed designs for, like, a soon-to-be project that we're doing. I forget where it was. It was, like, but we're doing a shed for a garden club so they can figure, and we're trying to figure out different ways to, figure out different ways to have a better water supply because they have a water tank there that they want to refill naturally without having to refill every time. So we've been coming up with different ideas on how to, like, you know, solve that issue.
So what would have happened if you didn't go to Youth Build? I mean, in terms of the trajectory you were headed on at Winooski High School, where would you be right now?
If I didn't go to Youth Build, I probably would have just probably been like a double senior and just stayed a couple years at Winooski. Probably not heading to college or anything. Probably just getting a dead end job, not knowing what to do with my life. But here, I feel like, you know, after high school, I'll like be able to go out and look for a job with confidence and not be able to have to worry that's just going to be hardly paying the bills.
All right. Well, Duncan Wild, thanks for joining us. And maybe you could pass the phone to your fellow Youth Build student.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. We're talking with the students from Youth Build, which is part of Resource Vermont. And do we have another student on the line?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, tell me your name.
My name is Kevin Lawyer.
Hi, Kevin. So tell us a little bit about where you were in high school and what led you to Youth Build.
All right. I was going to BHS. And
that's Burlington High School?
Yeah. And I was getting into a lot of trouble. Couldn't really stay in my classes because I got anxious because there was a lot of people in them. And it just wasn't working out for me. I even tried alternative programs, like On Top, and that programs didn't work for me. I heard about Youth Build. I figured I'd come check it out because it's more hands-on. That's how I like to learn.
And how is it working for you in the Youth Build setting?
I've actually changed around a lot. Like, gotten more mature, not getting into trouble out in public no more. And the working, I've done more schoolwork here than I have in the mainstream programs.
So you're actually taking classes, academic classes as well?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to have to leave it there. Kevin, thanks for joining us here in the Vermont Conversation. We're going to continue on the other half of the news, talking with others who are involved in the various programs of Resource Vermont.
All right, thank you.
Looking for a loan for your Vermont business, childcare, or nonprofit organization? Look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Because at the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we lend to Vermont businesses and nonprofits, even if the bank says you're not quite ready for a loan. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we focus on people, not profits. We'll work closely with you before and after you get your loan to make sure you get what you need to succeed. The Vermont Community Loan Fund makes loans to early stage companies and established businesses ready to take the next step. We lend to farms and food producers, high-tech businesses, manufacturers, retailers, childcare businesses, affordable housing developers, service providers, and other nonprofit organizations. We make loans to Vermonters doing business right here at home and around the world. So if you're looking for financing to help your growing business, look at the Vermont Community Loan Fund. Visit us online at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
AP Update. I'm Tim McGuire. An election year measure backed by President Obama and other Democrats calling for an increase in the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour has been defeated in the Senate. Capitol Hill correspondent Jerry Boatlander has details.
As expected, Democrats fell a few votes short of the 60 needed to advance a bill to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour.
The yeas are 54 and the nays are 42.
Senator Robert Casey argued the increase would help people better their lives.
You shouldn't work 40 hours a week and be paid a poverty wage.
Republicans led by Mitch McConnell were steadfast in their opposition.
That would cost as many as a million jobs in this country.
Democrats think they can win for losing and plan to make the GOP refusal to help low-wage workers an issue in the fall campaign. Jerry Boatlander, Capitol Hill.
And later this afternoon, President Obama will have remarks about the measure's failure. AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire.
Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility makes the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman available each Wednesday, along with People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do, a better business relationship. National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow. Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. Fairpoint Communications. Small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. And Business Energy Action. Challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. As well as over 1,000 plus VBSR members.
Back to the Vermont Conversation, where this week we're talking about one of Vermont's most unusual and unique poverty reduction and job training programs, and that is Resource. You can go to their website, resourcevt.org, to see some of the stories. They also have a really nice five-minute video about what they do. We have in the studio Curtis Osler, who's development director at Resource. Curtis, one of the things that you were mentioning was that in addition to, you know, some of the challenges and the turnarounds that, that some of the young people who come into Youth Build make, and these are students who have essentially they become eligible by dropping out of high school.
That's correct.
Mentioned some of the places where they end up going with their lives after this.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that Resource, that Youth Build offers is also certifications, especially for the construction trade. When students graduate from us, they are certified in OSHA 10, which is something you need in construction jobs these days. Also certified in CPR and first aid. And they get a PACT certification, which is a pre-apprenticeship certification training, and that's something that they'll go on to then be an apprentice carpenter or something like that. The other thing that we offer, just as a side note, is we mix this in with our environmental mission. And Resource in Burlington, for instance, does weatherization of homes, and especially low-income homes. Burlington has one of the oldest housing stocks in the nation, really, and certainly in Vermont. And a lot of these homes are drafty and very hard to heat. And for the people that have a low income, that's very difficult. So we offer offer these weatherization services through a variety of programs. We just finished one on Chase Street. It's going to be a low-income home opened up for sale by the Champlain Housing Trust. In Barrie, we actually do solar installation, and Jesse Gregg can talk about that later as well. But the outcome of this is we've got students who are now eligible for construction trade jobs. But they're also eligible to go on to college if they so choose. And that's one of the things we work with our employment and transition coordinator and our academic professionals at Youth Build will identify those students that might want to go into college. We've even got a student that is striving to be the first in his family to graduate from high school, which to me is huge to be able to offer that opportunity. And he's even looking at taking some college courses, which is wonderful. And Kevin Lawyer, who was on just a few minutes ago, he had addressed some issues that he had maybe being in public in large settings and obviously maybe some confidence issues and such. Well, April 3rd was National Youth Build Day, and the mayor, both mayors in Barrie and Burlington, had declared it in front of one of our sites. But Kevin was the one who actually spoke about Youth Build and got to introduce Mayor Murrow Weinberger during that Youth Build proclamation. So obviously a huge step for someone like him to be able to have that kind of a turnaround.
Yeah. Now, Resource also works with refugees and asylum seekers.
Yes, that's another program I neglected to mention earlier. We've got a Helping Hands program that started this year. The idea is we have two separate programs, one for youth, I think 17 to about 25, I believe, and then another for older workers, refugees that are 45 and older. It's mostly a job skills or a job support program where we help them work with language barriers, work with other organizations. We're partnering with organizations like Vermont Adult Learning and Navigate to help them get some of these skills they need and to improve their job search chances and get them employed.
And where does Resource get its money from, its funding?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are about, depending on the year, 55 to 65% self-sufficient through all of our social enterprise programs, and that's sales and service. And the services, the sales obviously are sales of used goods through our stores, household goods and building material stores. The services include things like the appliance repair, computer service, and, you know, and repair, but also our solar installation and weatherization. We're actually getting paid for many of the weatherizations. We also have a deconstruction service where we'll take down someone's barn rather than having it demolished and recycle those materials, keep them out of the landfill, create a cleaner environment provide that service for people in need that really don't want to see their old things just going into a landfill. But the solar installation is the one we do out of Barrie as well.
Well, we have on the line with us Tom Hughes, who is the CEO of Sunward Solar. Tom, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
So good to be on. Thank you, David.
So tell us a little bit about your company and how you came to work with Youth Build.
Sure. So Sunward Systems is a solar hot water company. We sell and install and service solar hot water equipment. We work primarily with professional installation companies across Vermont and across the nation. We're located in Shelburne. And about 3 years ago, we were looking for an installation partner in the Washington County area and made the connection with Resource Youth Build as a an organization that wanted to get exposure to the renewable energy field, and we've been working with them on training and installations now for 3 years, and the partnership has just been terrific.
Well, so Vermont, how does it work?
Vermont, as you may know, has the highest per capita rate of solar jobs in the nation, and that continues to grow, and Resource Youth Build is giving young people the training to enter that new and exciting space in the economy.
So did you have some concerns at first? You're working with young people who are new to the trades, and you need some fairly specialized skills to do what you do. So how did you get past that potential hurdle?
Sure. So And you're absolutely right. There was some initial concern that we had, and we worked very closely with the youth build instructors, Jesse, Jason, Josh, sort of the Team J there in Barrie, are just top-notch solar professionals. And they have years' worth of experience and many, many installations under their belts. And they do a fantastic job with every customer of ours that they work with. But we do have to let folks know, customers know, that sometimes the installation takes a little bit longer than a typical SunWard system installation would. And that's because it's being used as a training opportunity to give young people an opportunity to learn more about how to do the actual work, but also how to deal with customers. And what we have found is that Vermonters are generally extraordinarily welcoming of giving people that opportunity.
So why do you, Tom Hughes, with your company, SunWard Systems, why do you stay involved with Youth Build rather than just find some trained, you know, tradespeople to work with?
So the fact of the matter is that the instructors at Youth Build are some of the best solar thermal and solar hot water installers in the state. And what we view this as is a twofer. We get some of the best instructors and best installers working on the job, and they're training the next generation of work of people who are going to be entering the workforce. And those people will be familiar with our equipment and our technology and can go on to work with other companies and install SunWard systems when they do that with other companies.
Are there any anecdotes or vignettes from the field that kind of stand out in your mind as proof to you, you know, of why you think it's been worth doing this?
Well, I love hearing about customers who have had experiences with resource, either through weatherization work or through home cleanup after Irene, or recycled furniture at the Pine Street store, learning that they also offer solar hot water installations, and being really excited to work with folks that they've already have a relationship with and already have a lot of respect for the work that they do.
Okay, and if other business people are listening who might be thinking about, you know, an alliance like yours, what would your advice to them be?
Well, I think the opportunity is there to work with. Well, I won't speak for folks at Resource, but I think the opportunity does exist to partner with them, with the understanding that it's a true partnership. Resource needs to have an opportunity to train young people in a trade, and Youth Build does that for solar hot water, and it's great for us, but it may not be for every industry.
Okay. Well, Curtis Osler, I see you motioning to jump in here.
Well, Tom had mentioned an interesting point about, in addition to the solar installation, the customer service. And something that I wanted to reiterate, that in part of our training for all of our training programs, not just Youth Build, but also the apprentice-style training and everything else, is what we call PPD, or personal and professional development. And this is a very big part of what these students learn. And a large part of that is not just learning the skills. You know, you can learn to swing a hammer and use a chop saw and so forth, but how do you learn how to deal with a difficult coworker? How about a boss who's a little bit too demanding? How to not have conflicts? Maybe writing a resume, actually communicating well. We're offering all of this, these skills as well. And as Tom had mentioned, these installers are not just installers. They do have to understand customer service, and that's a big part of what they do. In addition, if you look at, I know the governor or the state had mandated that by 2020, I think, we want to renovate or weatherize about 80,000 homes in Vermont. And by 2050, I think, something like 90% of the state should be self-sufficient, energy self-sufficient. In order to do this, we're going to need more installers, more solar installers, people that are trained or construction professionals and trained in these specific tasks of weatherization and installation. So we're offering these skills, not just construction, but specifically geared towards saving the environment.
Okay, well, let's turn to some of the folks who are doing the hands-on installations. Jesse Gregg is the program manager for Youth Build in Barrie, and this is a program of Resource Vermont. Jesse, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about the program in Barrie, what you work on.
So Resource expanded into Barrie almost 5 years ago and brought the Youth Build program down here with it. In the past 5 years, we've really focused on revitalizing this historic granite shed, which is our home base here at 30 Granite Street, and Youth Build has had a very important role in that, which has also led to many opportunities for youth to learn construction here because it was really a full remodel of a historic granite shed. We're talking from concrete, radiant concrete floors to the heating system, the plumbing, the framing. Currently, we're putting some makeup on our building. We have some siding going in and historic windows. So there's been a lot of opportunity here to learn basic construction remodeling for our Youth Build students. And as Tom Hughes spoke of, we're coming into our fourth year of being partnered with Sunward Systems, installing solar hot water, and that's been really great. There's a lot that goes into a solar system, a lot of training opportunity for our Youth Build students, from framing, knowing how a house works, plumbing. And so it's been a great training opportunity for us. Doing solar hot water.
Is the solar hot water installation the main thing that Youth Build is doing in Barrie right now?
Well, we really focus on that in the summertime, being up on roofs and harnessed up on a roof or even doing a ground mount. Digging into the earth in the wintertime is a challenge. So generally, wintertime projects, we work with Habitat for Humanity, and we've done some weatherization with them here out of Barrie. We also, like I said, we've been focusing on 30 Granite Street and revitalizing our historic granite shed here. So basically, in the wintertime, we plug away on more construction woodworking projects. Recently just built 5 picnic tables for the town of Morrisville for their park and hope to deliver them up there soon. So solar is really maybe 6 months a year is when we're actually out on the ground installing.
Okay. And do you have some of the students who you work with, or any of them there with you?
I do. I've got a young man here named Ben Fisher who I would like to say a few words, and I can pass it along to him. But maybe one more plug in here. We just started a partnership with Washington Electric Co-op, and anyone who's a member of Washington Electrical Co-op qualifies for a $1,500 discount on a solar system, which really, that combined with the state incentive and federal incentives is really bringing the cost of these systems down to make it affordable for nearly anyone. So I figured I would put that out there, and I can pass you over to Ben Fisher.
Okay, great.
Thanks, David.
Sure.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Ben. So tell us a little bit about your story and what led you from high school to Youth Build.
Well, I was basically just going to high school, trying my hardest, and it just wasn't a great fit, obviously, why I'm here, but mostly it's like I had, I'm not going to lie, I fell into, dabbled with drugs a little bit, and I just fell off the wagon for a little while there, and I ended up moving in, actually, right next to the Youth Build building and had been seeing Jesse and them all having a good time and just getting to do fun things while learning and stuff like that, and I ended up stopping in a few times and talking to Jesse, and then
I had a really traumatic experience with one of my family members, and it kind of made me smarten up a little bit, and I just decided to come back in and give it my best go, and since then, that's what I've been doing.
What high school had you been in?
I was at Spalding High School in Barrie.
So had you already dropped out of school?
I hadn't dropped out of school yet. Well, actually, I had dropped out because I came here when I was a long time ago, at like 16, but I wasn't quite ready to do it yet. I hadn't had like the initiative, I guess, the motivation to want it, I guess, for myself would be a good way to put it.
Hmm. What turned, I mean, it sounds like you went through a really rough time with some really hard family stuff and then getting involved with drugs. And people are asking all over the state, you know, why do kids get involved in drugs and how do you get them out of it? How would you answer that for your, from your own experience?
I guess just seeing, like, my older brother kind of is, like, got into it before me and kind of just watching him do that kind of thing just was like, oh, if he's doing it, he's doing all right, so I can do it. And then what ended up getting me out of drugs is actually seeing, like, how he wasn't handling it right. Like, he, that's the traumatic family experience. He almost committed suicide over it. So I saw that and was like, yeah, I can't be doing this anymore. I'm not trying to end up like that, so I better not, I guess,
and
for lack
kind
of a better word.
What kind of drugs are we talking about?
I'm not going to lie. I was using heroin.
So this is, you know, really addicting drug. How did you get yourself clean enough to even think about doing rebuild?
I just did it. I just seriously, like, just stopped one day and, like, I don't know, like, watching my brother was such a traumatic thing. Like, you know, he almost, he, like, jumped off a bridge and I literally had to, like, catch him and pull him back over. So, yeah, that just kind of scared the crap out of me, so I didn't want to do that anymore.
So making the step of actually turning your life around and getting some job skills, what was kind of the key move there? What gave you enough hope or courage or strength to do that?
Kind of just family, I guess. My mom was a big encouragement, and I came in, and Jesse always has, even ever since I dropped out, has always been a huge, like, I guess, motivational key in my life. Like, just even when I wasn't in youth build for like 4 years, he, like, I would think of him sometimes and just like think, oh, what would Jesse think if I was doing this, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the work you're doing.
So far, like Jesse said, we haven't really dabbled in the solar yet, but that, I'm looking forward to doing that this summer. But the work we've done so far, we did picnic tables. We built some picnic tables for Morristown, or Morrisville, rather. We've done a lot of job skills training, like transferable skills. Like, Jesse's, like, big on, like, making us, well, not making us, but having us choose to be on time, taking responsibility for ourselves, communication and leadership skills. Sorry. And, yeah.
So how is it going better for you in this setting than it was at Spalding High School? I mean, you still have to sit and learn and take, you know, orders or guidance from people who know more than you.
Well, I feel like it's going a lot better because we have what's called a high school completion plan. I think someone might have mentioned it earlier. It's, we work with Adult Basic Ed, Ed Peary, and we get to do, like, independent projects so that we get to choose what we do pretty much, and we get to do book reports and current events. We literally, like, we pretty much choose everything we do here, but it's like guided type thing. So it's like a lot better than like a teacher just standing over you telling you do this, do that, rather than like it's a teacher saying, okay, well, this is what we're doing, how do you want to do it type thing. It's a lot better.
So you'll get a GED
I'll get my diploma from Spalding High School, actually.
So Spalding, this is, you're kind of still under their umbrella, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. We're working through Adult Basic Ed. We are on a high school completion program, and Spalding has to agree that it's solid enough by our high school completion plan that we can graduate with a diploma from there.
So do some of the guys who you used to hang out with see what you're doing? I mean, what kind of larger effect has your being involved in Youth Build had on the people around you?
I mean, it kind of hasn't really affected them as much yet because I've only been here since March, but they see what I'm doing and they're real proud of me. I have a lot. Oh, I actually did lose a lot of friends because they were, I'm glad I lost these friends though, because they were the ones that were encouraging bad things, but I've gained a few friends that are encouraging the good things. And I actually regained one of my friends that I haven't talked to since like sixth grade, who's on my wrestling team. And he's just recently started talking to me again because I'm not on the wrong path anymore.
Is there anything you would say to kind of somebody who was Ben Fisher, but not exactly you, from where you stand now, what would you say to kind of turn someone else's life around? What could reach them?
I guess I would just say that I've been there and I know exactly how you're feeling. And at this moment, you think nobody cares and nobody wants like anything good for you, but really you just got to want it for yourself and you got to kind of reach inside yourself and find that motivation and that drive to kind of like just do good for yourself and everybody else around you, and everything else will just kind of fall into place.
So
yeah, and Youth Build just encouraged the crap out of that and pretty much taught me that. So.
What's your hope for yourself for the future, Ben?
I've got lots of hopes. Like, could you, like, specify, I guess, maybe, please?
Well, where are you graduating this spring from school?
I'm graduating in, like, 7.5 months, roughly.
Mm-hmm. So what do you hope to do with your life after graduation?
Well, I hope to do... I already have, a personal and professional development plan. I think we were talking about it. I'm going to be doing driver's education, introduction to college course studies at CCV, which in turn I'll get a free college course after that. So that's pretty cool.
So you think?
And also, we get to, we're an AmeriCorps member, like someone, I don't remember who it was, but someone mentioned that earlier. And then we can go on to do a lot of different things, from like firefighting in California, like fighting forest fires, to like going down to Mississippi. One of my friends went, and there's just so many different opportunities you can do here.
Okay, well, Ben Fisher, a student member of Youth Build, a resource Youth Build, thanks for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you for having me, David. I appreciate it.
And Curtis Osler here in the studio, the development director for Resource. Just some parting thoughts on, you know, you're relatively new to the organization, been with it for less than a year, so you have kind of fresh eyes. What strikes you the most personally about what you see going on around you that Resource does?
Well, it's a wonderful place because it's very much a family environment. Everyone really cares about every aspect of the mission. We're very environmentally friendly. We're constantly turning off lights and so forth and, you know, wondering how can we save money here and there. But especially to get to work with the students, I actually had an opportunity with Dustin, who we spoke with earlier, to offer him a mock interview for about 10 minutes and give him some feedback on that. So I'm not just the fundraiser and communications guy, but I actually get it's a much more holistic approach to that. So I also wanted to mention, though, that we've spoken to all young men today, but women are just as welcome. And Vermont Women's Fund just gave us a grant to recruit and bring in some more women into the program. So we're always looking for more young men and women to join the Youth Build program.
Okay. Well, Curtis Osler and everyone we've been speaking to from Resource Vermont, thanks so much for being with us on the Vermont Conversation this week.
Thanks very much.
You have been listening to the Vermont Conversation with host David Goodman. Tune in next Wednesday when once again, Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and its over 1,000 VBSR members along with Fairpoint Communications, small business owners make it big with Fairpoint, National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow, People's United Bank, find out what know-how can do, and Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to patient, community, and medicine since 1879, as well as Business Energy Action, challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. These all help to bring you David Goodman with this special program.
Locally owned and operated, 96.1 WDEV, FM in Warren, FM 96.5 in Barrie, and AM 550 WDEV, Waterbury, Montpelier.